All right, I hope that you have the handout in front of you as we're going to just walk through briefly tonight a topic, obviously, that is very familiar with us. But I think sometimes there are some things that get overlooked or that were mistaught as we grow up in the church. And sometimes just pulling out those unnecessary weeds or what I was taught when I worked in the muck farms in Hudsonville, the suckers. Those are the things that didn't belong next to the celery and the onions, the plants or the weeds that would draw nutrients away from making them healthy. So I, as a job, had to go out there and cut those little, and they called them suckers, out so that the produce would grow strong. So sometimes in our understanding of prayer, we are taught little nuances, little suckers, if you will, that pull away from an effective and meaningful approach to prayer. So we're going to take a look at this together. We'll be spending a little bit of time in the book of Mark, so if you want to put your finger and open your Bible and put it to a place we'll visit a couple times tonight, Mark would be a great place to do so there. So we're going to look at prayer. The thing we all agree is of the utmost importance, but we all do less than we would like to or think we ought to in our lives. Whenever I go to a pastor's conference or a deacon's meeting or elder's meeting and we talk about the importance of prayer, I am under immediate conviction that I could be doing a lot more praying than I do. Am I alone on that at all? Anyone else? I just immediately go, man, sometimes I feel so busy that I don't have time to pray, which is ridiculous train of thought. But in my man-made attempt to get everything done, I often will forego the most powerful tool that I have. Prayer is an amazing provision for us in our life, but we're going to take a look at what prayer is and what it looks like and what it ought not to look like and how we can use it in our lives. The definition of prayer is very simple. Here's the definition of prayer. Number one, communicating God by... Let me write that down right there, broke into tongues. Communicating with God by words, thoughts, and I like this, even with a glance. How many here know someone well enough that if you give them a certain look, you can communicate several thousand words in a moment of time? Anyone else at all? Yeah, Ozzy right over there. I've even learned some of those looks, and I'm sure you've learned some of mine, you know, because you were a deacon at this church 10 years ago. Still are, okay, folks? We didn't dismiss him. But we've learned each other a little bit well. I know if my kids look at me and I just drop my head like this and give them this look right here, several thousand words and warnings of severe pain have just transferred right there in those neuronic moments. I can look at Amy and I will be talking to someone who maybe is just not quite on our best nerve at that moment. Am I alone on that at all? You know, we think whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is, you know. But every once in a while, I just kind of look up like this, and it's just boom. There's a lot of communication that happens there. Prayer is simply communicating. In fact, I like what Jesus did in Mark chapter 7, verse 34. It says, "And he looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh, he said to him, 'Be opened.'" With a glance. With a deep sigh. There was a lot of communication there, I would say with certainty, between him and the Father. When he got to the tomb of Lazarus, it says that Jesus wept, but it also includes the same word there, he sighed. With just a moment of time, a sharing of his heart and where he was at, Jesus just simply looked up to heaven, and nothing else is written. No words are recorded, no nothing. And then he healed the man. Prayer may assume any form of communication in our lives. Here's some: thanksgiving, praise, confession of sin, petition, intercession, expression of reliance, questioning God. Here's one. There's times when we bring our complaints to God, our fellowship, our dedication. Here's a prayer that we hopefully all of us have prayed, a prayer of salvational faith. And sometimes we'll look at this list and we'll say, I don't know, communicating what bothers us, our complaints, our questions, and the answer is yes. We can share with God all that is on our heart and all that concerns us even if what concerns us or bothers us may not be the right attitude we should have at that moment. It's communicating with God. Have you ever walked up to someone you love and trust and say, I just have to say this. I know that what I'm thinking here is not rational, but here's where I'm at. Jonah did that. David did that in the Psalms. How long, O Lord? Where are you, O Lord? In short, we can be candid with God, for He already knows what's on our heart. He already knows what's on our mind. Psalms talks about that, 139, Matthew 6, 8. You might as well be authentically open with God, because there is nothing hidden from His sight. Nothing is hidden from His sight. If I could be transparent with you this evening, if I can just be transparent with you, there's been times in my life when I have purposely tried to avoid praying for certain things or avoid praying for certain subjects for fear that God might answer or move on those. Am I alone on that at all? You always say, be careful when you pray for what? Patience. Or if you're going to pray that the Lord will purify your heart. And there's been times where I've literally spoken to the Lord and said, I'm afraid to bring up my need for patience or my need for purifying my heart because I am absolutely terrified with what might happen if I bring this to your feet. And the Lord said, you already brought it. I already see it. Communicating with God in any means imaginable, possible. Which brings us to our next point. When we go to prayer, and here's something that I think has been mistaught. Is that proper English? Mistaught? Has been taught wrong? Sometimes in our growing up in the church. And that is this. Who in the world do we pray to? A believer may talk to each and any member of the Holy Trinity. Oftentimes people will say, with what I believe is a misunderstanding of Jesus' teaching in John chapter 16, verses 23 through 27, that all of our prayers must be given and directed towards God the Father. That all of our prayers must be given to God the Father. I think the purpose of Jesus' teaching here is not to limit who we can pray to within the Trinity, but because of Jesus' atoning work, we now have a means by which we can approach God the Father. That is the purpose, that is the meat of Jesus' teaching there. And again, remembering that the Word of God is a narrative, it's a novel, it is an exhaustive truth of who God is. You don't want to isolate a passage of Scripture and highlight that as the pinnacle of the only teaching in prayer. We have to look at the entire Word of God and what it has to say about prayer as a model. And if we look at the entire Bible, we'll see what it has to say on the subject and find that we can also pray to Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Find that in Acts 7, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, 2 Timothy, 1 John, and the list could go on. We find that you can pray to the Holy Spirit, and you can find that you find prayers within the Word of God that are directed to God the Father directly. All three are holy God with different ministering roles. I remember one time when I was younger, I prayed to Jesus, and I had someone stop me and go, stop, that's wrong. And I was like, wow, what did I do wrong already? And by the way, I do that to your prayers as well. All right, no, I don't. Maybe a little, but I don't, all right? But they said, you're not supposed to pray to Jesus, and you're not supposed to pray to the Holy Spirit. You're only supposed to pray to God the Father. All three are holy God with different ministering roles. A simple application to knowing this and what the entire Word of God teaches in regards to this, a simple application might be this. As a child of God, and I love the intimacy that this brings to communicating with God, if we understand the simple tenets of the teaching when it comes to prayer, a simple application might be, as a child of God, we may pray to God the Father. As a servant, we may want to pray to Jesus Christ. As a bondservant of His, we want to go and we want to submit ourselves, pray to Jesus Christ as our Master. Or here's, if you need to talk to God as, and I mean this with holy trembling and righteousness, all right, but as a friend, pray to Jesus. When you need assistance, when you need direction, when you need help, maybe you want to pray to the Holy Spirit as our, and here's a title He has within the Word of God, our Helper, our Paraclete, someone who comes alongside of us. It's like going to your parents. Now that when you get to an adult period of your life and you go to your parents, you may say to them, I'm coming to you as your child. or I'm coming to you as your friend, or I'm coming to you as my elder, or I'm coming to you because I need a counselor right now. It's the same person. It's your dad, but in a different role. Same person, different role. And when we understand the different ministers that God has in our lives, it can provide for us a little bit more of an intimate approach to God, knowing the ministries and roles of God, knowing the ministry and roles of God, and that you can pray to all three can help make our prayers a little more intimate and maybe effective. If you need direction, pray to the Holy Spirit. If you need childlike comfort, pray to God the Father. If you need a friend that sticks closer than a brother, pray to Jesus. You can see how intimate that can be in our lives. But now we're going to move into, as we understand that there's really no wrong way to approach God, in that you can go to God the Father, God the Son, or God the Spirit, depending on what you need at that time. There are some rules to prayer. Well, I should say, what are the rules to prayer? And here it is. There are no rules for posture. There are no rules for time or length or a place where we should pray. These things are determined by the direction of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit, impresses upon your heart, it's time to pray. Also, the discipline of prayer, that we need to set aside time in our lives. I would add here, just as a small little asterisk, that we need to check our prayers to see who it is we are talking to. I don't know about you, but there's been times, and I've been guilty of this, where I will be maybe at a different church or maybe just listening to myself prayer, when all of a sudden I find that I am talking to those who are out there rather than those or him who is in here. Have you ever experienced that as you listen to someone pray? I remember at my first church, we had a very strict rotation of how we did things. Do you remember this, honey? We would get up there and we would sing a block of hymns, then there would be announcements, and none of this could be altered, all right? How many here grew up in that at all? Anyone at all? Where we worshiped the way we worshiped? Can I get a witness on that? Do you know that worshiping the way you worship can become an idol? Let's move forward. And then you'd have a block of announcements that had nothing to do with what we just sung about, and then we went back into another group of songs, and then we had the sermon followed by an altar call, regardless of what the sermon was about, followed by a mini sermon after the altar call that followed the main sermon. How many here grew up with the mini sermon after the main sermon, which was the same thing you just heard, but 90 minutes shorter? Anyone at all? And you just go, why didn't he just say that? All right? And then after the sermon and the altar call, followed by the mini summary in between verses 2 and 3, you got done with the final verse of the altar call, and then we went into the prayer, which was a mini-sermon of the mini-sermon of the main sermon that followed the announcements. And all of God's people said, because that's what we do. All right? I don't know what we're talking about. Oh, yeah, here it is. Check our prayers. Who are we talking to? Is it people who are listening to us? Do I break out into some poetic language that I don't use any other time so that I can impress man? Or am I talking to God? Public prayer can become about impressing others and communicating to those that are listening rather than literally glancing and communicating and talking to God. There are, however, conditions we have to meet if we are to receive answer to our prayers. And here's the conditions that the Bible teaches. All right, here we go. Prayer conditions. First, we have to ask in Jesus' name. Now, you guys know this very well. We say it all the time, in Jesus' name, amen. This isn't some sort of code word that we just say when we want to get that which we want. I said it in Jesus' name. It's not a name it and claim it. I can't tell you how many times I have heard from our denomination and some of my charismatic brothers and sisters in Christ who believe if you just add the words in Jesus' name at the end of their prayer, you are guaranteed a result of some kind. It's not a name it and claim it. But when we pray in Jesus' name, it means that we are praying according to His interest. In Jesus' name. In His interest. For His will. For His glory. Why are we doing this? You ever walk up to something and say, why are we doing this? And you say, well, we're doing this for Brett's sake, or we're doing this for Luke's sake, or for, what's your name? I'm pointing at you. Kathy's sake, but you're an elder. What's your name? Rich. We're doing this for Rich's sake. Why are we doing this, church? For Jesus' name. His interest, His will, and His glory. Not our own. When we say, in Jesus' name, we are literally saying, in your will, in your way, in not mine. By the way, God will never be our servant to minister to our whims or our appetites in the name of Jesus. We are ever His servants, and we exist and are created for His glory alone. Amen, church? That's why we exist. Now, what I'm about to tell you will not necessarily make you feel better, but it may answer a great deal of questions. And I have asked the same question. I have asked, and others have asked as well, why has God not answered this prayer? Pick a prayer. A prayer you believe is in His name, in His interest, in His will, for His glory. Why hasn't God answered this? And they share with you something that you can't comprehend why God would never answer it. Several years ago, when I was in the depth of, I had this experience, I want to be transparent with you, when I was in the depths of my head injury and I was nauseous for roughly 9 to 10 months straight, I had trouble balancing. I had to always have my hand on something. You may or may not have noticed when we were in the old chapel, when I would get done praying, I would literally turn around and slide down the back of that giant pulpit and I would begin to cry because my world just would not stop spinning. And Amy would come up, walk me to the car, drive me home, put me in bed, and allow me to just fall asleep where the bed would spin there. And finally, I remember I went out to eat with Rich Dorsey, and he said, "How are you doing?" And I began just to cry. I just wept right there in Applebee's. And I said to him, "I'm not doing good." And he said, "Why aren't you doing good?" And I said, "Because I wonder why. Why has not God heard my prayer? I'm not asking for riches. I'm not asking for these things that are going to ascend me on high. I just want to have a clear head again." In His name, in His way, in His will, not mine. The answer, while not easy, is still correct. Because the answer given will bring more glory to the name of God than the answer that I want. God's glory, His name, His will, His way. In fact, I would be ready to say that prayer is not so that God could agree with you, but so that we might align ourselves with what God is doing. Another one, we must ask definite requests. We find this in Philippians chapter 4 when it says, "Make your requests known to God in prayer and thanksgiving." We find that in James chapter 4 verse 2. By being very specific, very detailed, very definite, by doing this, we show recognition to God on our every need. It's not a general buffet, "Lord, I pray for this general thing," and then we wonder why our specific prayers are not answered. To recognition of every detail. Next one, to abide in Christ. It means to keep in touch with God through self-surrender, obedience. The key to being filled with the Holy Spirit, not indwelled with the Holy Spirit, you know this well, is through the acts of obedience. Scripture teaches very clearly that when we are obedient to Jesus Christ, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the prayers of a distantly religious man availeth much? No. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much. We have to be close to God. We've got to be surrendered to Him. We've got to be obedient to Him in faith and in our communication. Next one here, we must have faith that God will answer. To believe what He means is what He says. Titus talks about this, that He is able to do what He promised. It means we don't limit God to what we think is possible for Him. This morning, we had the privilege as elders of meeting with a dear lady and to anoint her with oil, olive oil, and pray for her and lay our hands on her as she battles cancer in our lives. And we prayed in faith that God would touch and heal her body, that the Lord would lift her spirits and courage and comfort, and by His name, for His sake and for His glory. And we prayed for healing. We prayed for all those things that every single one of us in that room wanted desperately for this wonderful woman. And we anointed her with that olive oil. We laid our hands, but at the end of that prayer, in faith, we said, "In Your name, Jesus." Because this woman and me and you are servants and belong to Him, not the other way around. Amen? In His name, His interest. But to have faith that God will answer, since He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what we ask or think. Let's ask Him for things that will magnify His name. Big things. Pray big. Here's something. You might just get it. If you pray big, you might just get it if it is in His name, His will, His glory, His interest. And then here's another one. We have to ask persistently. I stink at this right here, to ask persistently. Jesus told us that we have to continue to pray about matters until we receive the request or we are shown what we are asking, I wrote here, is amiss, because I like to rhyme things for some reason, or unless God shows us that what we're asking is not of His will. Luke 11 talks about this. By doing this, praying consistently and habitually, by doing this it places confidence that God will answer, and it gives us time to prepare our hearts for the answer that God will give in His time. Now I want you to look at these last couple too. That God, faith that God will answer, all right, to pray big, all right, because He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, and then ask persistently, all right, for His glory, not ours, in His name. I want you to just grab those last couple of things there, and I remember just kind of humorously in my mind as I was putting this together, at my first church, our church was growing quickly, but we were in a very small rural area. But we were exploding in growth. And there was more people coming in than we had room, seats, facilities, resources that we could offer. So we began to look at somehow fixing that problem with expanding our facilities because there was just no room. And at the same point in time, in an economically depressed area where jobs were very hard to find, it was going to be a very difficult thing. All right, we had no money and we had no room, and that can be a difficult thing. So we began to pray to God a great big prayer, and me and another guy got together 6:30 in the morning on Tuesdays, and we decided we were just going to pray big. And we prayed that God would pay for whatever He sees that we need. Because of the area we were in, we said, Lord, pay for it in one check. It looks impossible, all right? We're in an economically depressed area. We're in a blue-collar area. We don't have a lot of resources. We barely have what we can do now, but people are coming. Lord, just eliminate this with one giant check. If that's Your will, just show us that You can do anything and everything. And then, of course, we tagged on the end of that so that You could receive all of the glory. I kind of suspect that maybe I was excited for some of that glory as well, because you'll find out in just a moment. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed and we prayed every Tuesday at 6:30 in the morning that God would do big things. We did so with those who had diseases and so forth. And we said, God, we want You to receive all the glory. I pray that You will do this. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Eventually, God moved Amy and I on to our next church. And shortly after we moved on, we got a call from the person I was praying with, and he said, Brett, you'll never guess what happened. And I said, what's that? He said, we just received a check in the mail for $750,000 the month I left the church. Was our prayer answered? Yes! Prayer was answered. Was it answered in my timing class? No! No! I got off the phone that night and I said to the Lord, really? Really? All that blood, sweat, and tears I prayed in Your name? I wonder if I was praying in my name a little bit too. A little bit of my name. But you know what happened? He answered our prayer in a way that gave God all of the glory. He answered our prayer because it's about His glory, His name, His plan, not mine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For His name was glorified, and He made sure to find out and make sure to show that it was not mine, it was all His. His name. Now, sometimes we experience, and we'll finish with this, unanswered prayer. We all experience that, all right? When these times come, there are a few things we might want to check under the hood of our lives when it comes to prayer, all right? Praying to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. with those elements in our life through obedience and faith and etc., we're still going to have times of failure. So to use an analogy from Ozzy Osbourne, who's a master mechanic, whenever something's not running the way it should, I'm sure there's a few troubleshooting points that you immediately think of. All right? Here it is. Number one, open up the hood of our lives. Failure to meet the conditions of faith in prayer. When we pray because we're just supposed to, but we really don't believe it's going to happen. All right? I don't think the Lord is clearly obligated to honor a prayer like that. Scripture teaches otherwise. Number two, not allowing God to answer in His time, in His way. I just gave you an illustration about that. All right? Not allowing time for God to answer in a way that is about His will and not ours. Here's one I think we often overlook. Broken relationship with God through our daily sins, but also with other people. I don't know about you, but it's really easy for me to ask God to make sure that our relationship is right while I neglect or miss some of the relationships that are broken in my life. And Scripture teaches that if we have broken fellowship with a brother and sister in Christ, we need to go make that right before we go to God the Father. Here's one. Improper motivation. Improper motivation. I'm going to share with you a true story that's going on right now with Emily Riley. I'm teasing. I just saw your head go right up. I'm totally teasing. But I was seeing you were literally writing. I was so impressed. I just wanted to see how quickly your head could come up. All right. But this is a true story. What'd you say? That is an improper motivation. But fortunately, I'm not praying right now, Emily. Okay? No. There is a happening right now across the street from a church, not this church, all right? There's a group of people that get together and pray across the street from a church. And they pray, and this church believes in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are praying right now that the ministry of that church would fail so badly that they would be able to purchase their building at a discounted rate. True story. I'm not thinking that falls under the motivation of the Word of God. All right? Wow. To pray that a fellow sister church's ministry would fail so you can get a deal on a physical thing. I'm not holding my breath on that prayer. Number five, satanic hindrance. We find that in the book of Daniel, where the angel said, I would have been here sooner, but I was at war, or I was battling the prince of Persia. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. There is an angelic and supernatural demonic fight that is going on around us. And number six, praying for what is not good. We tend to think what we want makes it good. True story, not long ago, this is about Terry this time. No, I'm teasing. Someone came up and said, I'm praying at work that this woman that I have fallen in love with, who is married, I'm praying that their marriage will fail, that they will get a divorce so that she might see me, be interested in me, and I might marry the woman of my dreams. Okay. He's asking for what is not what class? Good. In fact, what does God say about divorce? He what? Hates it. Don't pray for something God hates and expect that to be answered. It's amazing what we are able to deem as good because it's what we want. Finally, prayer. We all agree it is the most important thing. So let's be a church that practices that, not just acknowledges that. And I would be amiss if I didn't remind you that we pray every Wednesday night as a group at 7 o'clock. We'd love to see you there. Gracious Heavenly Father, As your children, we come to you in need of comfort and protection. Jesus, as our Master, we surrender our lives to you. And Holy Spirit, we ask for your help, your assistance, and your direction in our lives. Help us to communicate, talk, and glance at you in dependence for our lives. And we pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thanks, guys. I love you. Have a wonderful week.